This is the European edition of Breaking Banks, the world's number one fintech podcast and radio show. We bring you the European unicorns, startups, founders, regulators, and leaders innovating the rapidly evolving fintech scene today. A truly localized podcast with both English and local language content with some of the world's most well-known hosts and influencers in the fintech sector globally. Join us every week as we explore what makes the European Union a phenomenal proving ground for many of the fastest growing fintech plays in the world today. Okay, let's roll.
Welcome back to another episode of Breaking Banks Europe. Today is a very special episode and very close to my heart because this is a special episode on the upcoming, well, currently running FCA Tech Sprint for Women's Economic Empowerment. I am super excited, not least because I will be taking part in the Tech Sprint, or currently am taking part in the Tech Sprint. But I'm also very excited to be joined today by two very special guests. First is Francesca Hopwood-Rode. She is the head of RegTech and Advanced Analytics, Innovation and Transformation. Oh, that's a mouthful. At the Financial Conduct Authority. And Joanne Barefoot, who is the CEO and co-founder of the Alliance for Innovative Regulation, also known as AIR. So thank you both so much for joining us today. Maybe I'll start with you, Francesca. How are you doing today?
Nina, I am so well, and I am so delighted that I get to spend the next hour talking with you and with Joanne. I mean, to be honest, it is quite a delight that we get to have this conversation and share more about the Tech Sprint and what we're aiming to achieve with it, both in the week and beyond. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me to join.
Of course. My pleasure. And Joanne, how are you doing today? Where in the world are you, actually?
I am in Washington, D.C. I live on the Anacostia River, which you can sort of see behind me. And I'm thrilled to be here today, thrilled to be working with Francesca on this amazing project, and really excited always to be on Breaking Banks.
Wonderful. So maybe I'll start with you, Francesca, if you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself, what excites you, what's going on right now, but also how you ended up at the FCA in your current role.
Oh my gosh, Nina, there's quite a lot there. So my role, as you said, is head of RegTech and Advanced Analytics. What does that mean in practice? That basically means that I have three areas of my world. I have the RegTech world that you guys know, hopefully love. So all our external facing work around tech sprints, digital regulatory reporting, the digital sandbox that I hopefully will get a chance to chat to you guys a bit about today. And then there's the other side of my shop, which is our Advanced Analytics work, and that's very much our supervisory technology portfolio. So how can we really use AI and machine learning to enable us as a regulator to hone our regulatory effectiveness by using those kinds of tools to automate, to predict, to better identify harm? So I have a team of data scientists and engineers. And then I'm also very lucky to have a group of fantastic individuals who are all about helping the organization at large to really understand and engage with data and tech. So they are change specialists, they're comms specialists, they're learning and development experts, and they really drive our behavioral and cultural engagement as an organization with data and tech and innovation. So I think I get to do one of the best jobs ever, if I'm honest. And I've been doing it for about a year and a half now. But I've been at the FCA for 10 years, and I joined the FCA from a background in consumer organisations. So I worked for charities, think tanks, really looking at financial inclusion and capability, helping often the most vulnerable. So domestic violence victims, offenders, people experiencing mental ill health. So really kind of often the most vulnerable and the most excluded. And then that brought me to the regulator to really think about how that work could be done from a regulatory perspective. And then, working in a regulator opens up all sorts of opportunities. And so I kind of went on a path around exploring how to better identify harm and predict harm for consumers. And one of the things I kept on coming up against was the role of data and how could we better use data and how could we look beyond our shores, both kind of geographically, but also organizationally, to think about what others were doing to be more effective. And that's kind of really led me to explore the work that Nick Cook was driving at the time around the use of tech and analytics. So I worked with him to set up the RegTech and Advanced Analytics Department. So one of the things that I'm super excited about, obviously, at the moment is our tech sprint, our Global Women's Economic Empowerment Tech Sprint with AIR. This has been something that has been really close to our hearts for about a year now. And, you know, it came about, if I'm honest, from a couple of different angles. So one of the very first things when I took on this job was I participated in the AML and financial crime tech sprint back in July of 2019 now. And I mean, those of you guys who have participated in tech sprints, they're awesome, aren't they? I mean, they've got so much energy. They are such kind of wonderful examples of people coming together to collaborate, to share. But if I'm honest, one of my observations was, where are women? And I sat and looked at the teams, and I looked at the people presenting on behalf of the teams, and I was kind of like, hang on a sec. These solutions are awesome, but where are the women? And I was kind of thinking about that because at the time I was also building up our data science capability, and I was thinking about, you know, how to really harness the importance of diversity of thought and perspective and expertise. So a kind of little seed was planted in my mind about, you know, what might we need to think a little bit differently about bringing the best voices to the fore as part of our external kind of innovation offering. And so I started doing a bit of thinking about it and kind of testing out some ideas with people. And then COVID hit and I was kind of a bit like, well, that's the end of that for the time being. But actually, and unfortunately, what we saw very quickly from a UK perspective, you know, in the first lockdown, which was a year ago, start was a year ago, was that we heard very quickly stories in our media about the impact that COVID was having on women. Domestic violence, mm-hmm. Reporting was increasing significantly. One organisation had 125% increase in a week of inquiries. And then as the pandemic has persisted, the impact on women in a whole range of ways in terms of the sectors they work in, more likely to be impacted by the pandemic, having to leave the workforce due to furlough or income reduction, caring responsibilities. And then the very freezing effect that has on their security and resilience, not just in the short term, but actually in the longer term, their pensions, their savings potential, all of those kind of things. And so what had been a sort of a seed of an idea, I started, frankly, testing the idea for a tech sprint to look at some of these issues, to think about some of these, you know, what kind of lens could we look at these through? And we knew that tech sprints were so powerful. Mm-hmm. They convene, they catalyze, they engage. And this is where I think kind of, you know, relationships with colleagues, you know, in like Joanne is just so profound, because not only did she say to me, yes, yes, again, yes, we have to do something, but she also did something way more important than that. She said, so what can we do? Mm. And how can we lean in and how can we step in and create something? Mm. And I think the tech sprint and the conference that is happening, you know, as we speak, is such a testament to the power of other people going, yeah, not only do I think that's a good idea, but how can I kind of lend my resource, my expertise, my networks, my vision to creating this? And so that's a real testament to Joanne and AIR as well.
Well, that is amazing. And I am actually, I was saying to Shelley just last week, I feel like such an eager beaver. I've got so much enthusiasm. I worry I'm overly enthusiastic and I need to calm myself down a bit. But that segues really nicely for us to learn a bit more about you, Joanne. So tell us a bit more about you. Tell us about AIR. We know from what Francesca just said that you also helped breathe life into this tech sprint. So tell us a bit more about your journey to this point.
Great, thank you. It's always exciting to be doing things with Francesca. We can see her infectious enthusiasm. I have a long background in financial consumer protection and financial inclusion work. I was a bank regulator years ago. I was deputy controller of the currency. Before that, I worked for the U.S. Senate on these issues. I've been a consultant. I've done a lot in the nonprofit world. And mostly trying to solve the problems that consumers have in their financial lives through regulation. And we need to regulate the space. But if you step back and look at how we're succeeding or not in really having people able to enter the formal financial system and have a healthy, successful experience with it, there's a lot to be done yet in achieving those goals. And so probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I started really looking at the potential of technology to help solve these problems, discrimination, lack of access, lack of affordability, inability to qualify, and so on. And really came to realize that the technology we have today, the digital technology, can maybe do more than anything we've ever had available to solve these problems if we regulate it right. And then as a former regulator, I'll share candidly that I said to myself, we probably won't regulate it right. And it's not the fault of the regulators. It's just that they're not built to deal with fast innovation and fast changes like the exponential rate of change in technology. And so I did 2 years as a senior fellow at Harvard researching these topics, Harvard University. And I sort of decided that I would take on this project. And somewhere around in there, the FCA really emerged as the world's leader in thinking about both how to foster fintech for the benefit of consumers and small businesses in particular, and then also how to do reg tech. There are other countries that have been really impressive as well, especially Singapore was another really early player in the space. But you know, that seems like ancient history today because countries now all over the world are working on these issues. But the FCA took the lead first in creating its sandbox and then in inventing this tech sprint format that we are using now. And that too is being emulated all over the world. So AIR's work is taking this vision forward. We work with regulators throughout the world. We work through the ecosystem in general. We do run tech sprints. We've recently done one with New York State on digital regulatory reporting. We recently did one on the use of cryptocurrency to purchase online child sexual abuse material and how to catch that crime. We collaborated with the FCA on the one Francesca mentioned in 2019, which was on financial crime. We were the U.S. Host for that to bring all of our U.S. players to the table and others. So it's an exciting format, as Francesca says, because, and as you just said, Nina, because people get excited. And all my career, I've realized after a couple of these sprints that I've never done anything that leaves people so energized and galvanized to do more. You know, we all work on important work and we care about it and good things happen. But these tech sprints just, it's two things. First, three things maybe. First, you pick an important problem to work on, which this Women's Empowerment Sprint is, you know, the greatest example. And it was Francesca's idea, as she said. Secondly, you bring people together with a concrete problem-solving focus. You don't just talk about an issue. You say, if we were going to solve this problem, especially using technology, what should we do? And by the end of the sprint, you don't just have talk. You've got starter tools normally. Yeah. And then the third thing is that it brings together people who are usually inside silos and don't connect. And especially it brings together the subject matter experts at these regulatory agencies and in the industry with technology people side by side, if it's in person and on a team virtually, in this case, to really pool their skills. And what we learn is that the tech people have different kinds of tools than most of what the traditional regulatory people have had available to them or have known how to use. And so magic can happen out of that.
Absolutely. I keep thinking a few years back, someone said to me, my favorite kind of people are the people who say, yes, and. We're so used to hearing, yes, but it's really great to come across people that say, yes, and as you said earlier, Francesca, how can I help? So it's wonderful that we are all coming together for this tech sprint that's currently running. I think what would be really useful for our audience is maybe to rewind a little bit and kind of recap as to what a regulatory tech sprint is, because, you know, we've talked a lot about the energy, the excitement that comes with it, the creativity, why it's so important. But maybe if we can go over what exactly that means to take part in a regulatory tech sprint and why for this one in particular that we're currently running, it's a great model for women's economic empowerment. Perhaps I'll let you start, Francesca.
Sure. So I think, yes, I think you're absolutely right to kind of get us to kind of go back to first principles, because we get so used to otherwise, don't we, sort of, you know, shorthand of we know what we're talking about, but really making sure that kind of we explain it. So regulatory tech sprints are effectively a type of hackathon. And, you know, for probably obvious reasons, as regulators, you know, hackathon's not necessarily language we would be particularly comfortable with. So tech sprints. And as Joanne said, what they do is they do a couple of things that are incredibly important. They set out very clear problem statements that we want to address. And we think that typically these problem statements are really hard, intractable challenges. And, you know, we saw that with the AML and financial crime ones. And we see that with this, right? You know, we're going after in this tech sprint problems that have persisted for women, for vulnerable consumers for a very long time. But what we are saying is unique about a tech sprint is it's that kind of sweet spot between financial services, tech, data, and regulation, and actually how you can harness all four of those different disciplines and perspectives to come out at these problems. So, you know, we're looking at issues in this tech sprint around exclusion, lack of access, thin credit files, issues around identity. And so we're coming at it from saying, okay, so these issues have persisted for a long time. There's nothing new about these issues. These issues are now more acute. There are maybe more groups who are newly vulnerable as a result of the pandemic. But what we do know is interesting is the role that tech can bring to bear, or digital ID, or new and emerging technologies like privacy enhancing technologies, the role of open finance. So really starting to bring, as Joanne said, those different perspectives and different skill sets into the room. And so what we do is we set these problem statements, we very clearly articulate them, and then we put out the call for people to come together around them. So, you know, we really curate the kind of skill sets that we need. So you need your subject matter experts, you need your visionaries, we need you, Nina, you know, who go, you know, this is the thing that I think we can go after here, people. This is my vision. This is what I want to bring you together around. We need your brilliantly wonderful techie people, your front-end developers, your full-stack developers. You can get to think, your coders, how can I actually bring this together? We need the data. And I think, and I'll come back to the importance of data later on. But I think what the importance of the regulator in that space is, we are convening a space for a conversation and permission to say, please come together and look at these issues. And we know that the power we have as a regulator to shine a light, say this is important, create the space, bring others into the room, whether it is you know, global experts, a range of experience into the room to enable that conversation. And you do it over a really short time period. So this one is 3 days and then the final day of judging. The longest one we've had is 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know how the guys did it. If I'm quite honest, that was more a marathon, right, than a sprint. But it's about having that really focused time effort to, you know, bring together teams who might never have worked together before. And sometimes we deliberately curate those teams. Other times those teams naturally form. So I think they are a very powerful way that we kind of pull all of those different elements together and really think about what is the unique role that the regulator plays in convening and creating that space for discussion.
And to that point, actually, I was going through my own observation deck. So for those that are participating in this tech sprint, we have our little observation deck where we can message each other and look at projects and that sort of thing. And I noticed, you know, when I was setting it up, all of the data sets there, and that it does include synthetic data. So I wonder, Joanne, if maybe you can walk us through that and kind of talk a bit about the data sets that we are going to be using for this one, but also maybe explaining, I mean, maybe it's written, what's written on the tin, synthetic data set, but maybe if you could unpack that for us a little bit.
When you're doing a tech sprint, it's not just a regular working group. You're trying to get people to build something that they can demonstrate at the end. And at the end, it's a competition. There are judges. We have very distinguished panels of judges. In this case, in our US sprint, we have all women judges, which we're very excited about. I might also mention we have 90% women hackers on the sprint team in the US, and we have almost all women speakers at the conference as well. We have a few wonderful men involved, but men are welcome. But we have found so many awesome women in the course of doing this, and we're really, really showcasing them. But back to the data, at the end of the week, people will demonstrate what their team has built. And so they're working with data, and depending what the sprint is, it would be different kinds of information. But to do that, we either have to be able to provide publicly available data, or we need to buy data from a data source, which can be quite costly, or increasingly we're able to use sources of synthetic data that are already private. We can't use any real data or any data that could be re-engineered to understand anything about the actual people whose data would be represented. And I would like to ask Francesca to talk about the FCA's work on creating synthetic data for this kind of purpose, because it's really kind of a gift to the world in what you've been able to put together.
Thank you, Joanne. So, I mean, one of the things, as Joanne said, one of the things that is so important about tech sprints and what you've identified, Nina, is having the data to test, explore, and create those all important solutions. And one of the things that we have always been very keen to do, this will be our 8th tech sprint, is that we've known that, you know, the value of the data in the moment is huge. But when the tech sprint finishes, the data drops away. It's no longer available for teams to continue to experiment and test on. And actually that has an impact in that those teams often, we observed, found it quite challenging to make the leap from proof of concept into the proof of value stage. And so anyway, we were reflecting on, as is right, you know, how do we continue to evolve and mature our innovation offerings? And so we sought to test last year creating a digital sandbox environment. And what we wanted to do in that digital sandbox environment was to create synthetic data assets that were available for startups, fintechs, regtechs to test and develop their solutions on. And we also knew, as we've touched on a lot in this conversation, that collaboration, the spaces to lean into SMEs, to engage with others, to share ideas, was also a really fundamental, valuable asset as part of the tech sprint environment. But and we knew that that was something we were also really keen to explore as part of a digital sandbox environment. So we launched our pilot digital sandbox last autumn with 3 different use cases, and we had 30 teams using that over a period of about 12 weeks. We're currently in the process of evaluating that, but we used our data scientists. We also did a data sprint last summer to create those synthetic data assets. And as Joanne said, one of the things we were all having very keen to do from the start is make those publicly available. But we also wanted to see if that digital sandbox environment could be used for tech sprints. And actually, I think, you know, one of the things that we know is that, you know, in person, in real life, tech sprints are wonderful. And now we're in an environment right where it's all virtual. So we are using for this tech sprint for the first time, this digital sandbox environment where we are making available, as you've seen, Nina, the kind of observation decks, the spaces to play, to observe, to create, to come together. But we are also furnishing that space with the synthetic data assets that we have created and that we are continuing to create and evolve and develop. And as I said, we want to make those publicly available because I think, you know, this is a huge area that we want to continue to develop. And do so in partnership with other regulators to see about, you know, ways that we can come together to learn, to share and to test our own different tools and approaches. So we think there is huge potential in the digital sandbox, but we are really pleased to see it having a very immediate next stage with this particular tech sprint.
Wonderful. Well, we are going to put you on a cliffhanger there, our audience. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At timepledge.org, we are building the largest free coaching and advisory platform for entrepreneurs by providing mentorship opportunities based on pledge time. Our network of seasoned industry experts acting as coaches is working for free, pledging their valued time to the next generation of entrepreneurs who will change everything. Our portfolio of sessions goes over every skill an entrepreneur needs to successfully launch his or her startup, from how to pitch and behave with investors to how to best market your idea online or even how to best manage your team. We have the perfect sessions with the perfect mentors. Want to learn how to become the best entrepreneur you can be or mentor the next generation of entrepreneurs in Africa and Asia? Please visit timepledge.org and let's get you started.
Welcome back, Breaking Banks Europe listeners. As you have heard so far, we've been having a wonderful time speaking to Francesca and Joanne about the ongoing tech sprint that is around women's economic empowerment. And I really am, well, I've already said this many times, have been so excited to take part, to speak to them today about this. It's an issue that's very close to my heart. But I think something that is really unique about tech sprints is that they're kind of themed in general, would that be fair to say? So there, as you mentioned, there was kind of the financial crime one, and now this one's very specific. And so I think it would be really great to talk a bit more about the specific problem spaces that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. Francesca, you alluded to the beginning in your introduction that there have been, well, existing issues that have been magnified by the ongoing pandemic. And it seems as good a time as any. Also, it is International Women's Month, Women's History Month, so perfect timing for this tech sprint. But maybe we'll start with what are the problem spaces that we're looking at and why as well?
Okay, so perhaps I can start with the why, and then come on to the kind of and so how have we distilled that down into the particular problem statements we're looking at. So I think what we have seen across the year, and I think this is why this is so important, this is a global sprint, and it speaks to kind of where we might want to go next with it, is that what we have seen across the world is that women have disproportionately been impacted by this pandemic. It has had an impact on them because of the sectors they work in. So they women work a lot in hospitality, tourism, for example, retail. And those are the sectors that have been put on ice in the pandemic. We know that women have disproportionately picked up caring and so have either sought furlough or have had to reduce their hours. So that's had an impact on their income. We know that there has been women have been unfortunately locked down in unsafe and abusive environments. With that often comes an element of economic coercive control. So when they choose to leave, and only yesterday I was speaking to the UK's domestic abuse commissioner, who was saying that she fully expects when this lockdown starts to release in the UK, for example, that there will be a big spike of women needing to find refuge accommodation. And now in finding refuge accommodation, your ability to have financial independence, to take out products in your own name, to have the ID to do so, your partner might have run up a lot of debt in your name. So you might have a particular credit history now that might not be particularly beneficial to you. Or you might not have a credit file at all, because actually a facet of the control was that your partner had everything in their name. So you might not have a credit history, and therefore being able to set yourself up in the future is challenging. So we know that there are all sorts of issues impacting women. I'm obviously speaking from a very UK-centric perspective, but we know that that's replicated to a degree in the US and globally. And actually across this week, we have fantastic speakers from across the world talking about how the COVID pandemic is impacting women in Egypt, in Kenya, from the perspective of the World Bank. So really phenomenal speakers, and I encourage your listeners, of course, to check them out. So the next step for us was to say, okay, how can we really refine that really distressing narrative of detrimental impact on women into things that are very tangibly we could go after in a tech sprint, and where we think solutions could be fostered that add value. And so what we're really looking at is around secure identification, sharing of traditional or non-traditional data to enable women to build out a credit profile, be able to get a toe back into financial services, looking at how to develop credit worthiness for women and other vulnerable groups who may be locked out or underbanked, looking at how market participants might access secure verification without undermining privacy. So thinking about the role of privacy enhancing technologies, which is something we explore very much with the AML and financial crime tech sprint. And then really thinking about kind of financial management, how to enable women to really bring together and manage their finances through periods of profound change or uncertainty. So these issues are obviously hugely crystallized at the moment for women, but I think what is so important about them is that actually they touch on a whole range of vulnerable consumer groups that Joanne mentioned. And therefore, if we can identify solutions and surface solutions across this week, what's so exciting is what does that mean for other vulnerable groups, right? And what's that transference and cross-fertilization of these ideas for others?
And in the U.S., we're doing something similar. I think we didn't say we're the two sites, London and Washington, are overlapping. The conference has common speakers and sessions as well as separate ones. But in each country, the people are working on different data because it's more familiar to them and more directly relevant to what they're doing. And so we in the U.S. have the same kinds of cases, and what we've done and the FCA has done as well is to create personas that bring to life the dilemma that these women may find themselves in, either due to low income or having lost their job. We have statistics that in the United States, 4 times as many women have lost their jobs or had to drop out of the labor force to take care of children, these kinds of impacts disproportionately. And so we have a little story about each scenario, and the teams will be able to pick what types of problems they want to work on. But we've developed these personas with tremendous input from experts. So if you look at the problems of intimate partner bias, for example, in both the US and the UK, we've worked with people who work with those problems every day, and they have helped bring these situations to life, these stories to life. And I also think that this is one reason why this sprint is likely to be particularly fruitful, is that more so than most of the ones we've done, we're reaching far beyond the financial services world and really talking with people who understand the end goal deeply, more deeply than most of us do in finance. If you look, for example, at intimate partner bias, the experts in that field have identified the fact that the number one barrier to women getting out of these abusive and dangerous situations is financial. They don't have the resources to go, and they don't even know where to go and how to start to begin to build a new life. So we know that financial services and financial regulation are not the only or even the primary place to solve these problems. But what we know is you can't solve them with little slices of effort. You have to take a holistic approach. So these sprints are going to be, as they go on, are incredibly integrated across a vast spectrum of types of knowledge. And it's one reason we're so excited about it. One of the things about a tech sprint that's different for almost anyone, and certainly for regulators, is that at the beginning of the sprint, you have no idea what you're going to have by the end. It's a leap of faith. And I'm really excited that this one is, when we get to the end, it's going to find solutions that maybe nobody had even thought along those lines before, putting together the power of different types of thinking and resources.
Yeah. And speaking about that, I think we touched on that earlier, but I think, Joanne, you mentioned that 90% of the participants are women.
Yes.
Which is super exciting. I was just like happy dancing all over my flat when I heard that we had exceeded the original goal that was set out. And it's something very close to my heart. I mentioned earlier, but I work a lot with refugee and migrant women. So I know that there's lots of layers that kind of we don't necessarily see, but maybe by bringing all of these people together with different expertise, they will be able to point out and say, hey, you know, in the Muslim community, that's not going to work because of X, Y, Z. So very, very excited. And very excited for the presentation day for all of the
wow. Thrilling. Yeah.
Yes. On that note, though, talking about different perspectives, this is a very exciting and different tech sprint in that it is virtual. Perhaps we've all gotten used to being on Zoom. We're currently recording this on Zoom, but as you mentioned at the beginning, Francesca, there's usually such a buzz of being with people and feeding off of that energy. So there are pros and cons. One of the pros is that we have a much more global audience this year. Love to hear a bit more about how that came about and what we intend to do moving forward with that global audience.
I think that's so true. So, I mean, I think, you know, we were doing the tech sprint virtually, kind of, you know, felt felt quite nerve-wracking, if I'm honest. And I think, you know, as you said, there are pros and cons. Pros, I think there's an element of democratization to it. You know, more people can participate, whether it's people, within country or across the world. But we've had to think really carefully about how do we still create and foster that sense of energy and participation. And so one of the ways we've gone about that is by putting together the conference that is running across this week. And we have had some quite phenomenal. I think we've got 40 speakers across 4 days. We have themed each of those days. And I think for the first day, we had a lot about kind of the global impact on women. So we had speakers like Greta Bull, who is the director of CGAP at the World Bank. We had Baroness Hale from the UK, who is a former law lord, Supreme Court judge. We've had women talking about, subject matter experts talking about the impact in keynote speeches and panels. We've also then really wanted to dive into kind of some more of the subject matter tech expertise around digital ID and open finance and convene discussions around those. But I think one of the things that I am most excited about, if I can pick something that's my favourite bit, is one of the things, and we've talked about the percentage of women participating and how deliberate and intentional that was. Our previous tech sprint, we had 25% participation from women. This tech sprint, we set a target of 75%. Very deliberately, we wanted majority female. As you said, we kind of left that at the dots. We have been really amazed. I think actually for me that raises a question. You know, if I can horribly paraphrase the Kevin Costner film, Field of Dreams, you build it, they will come. We set out our stall, right? We said, we want women, we want you to come forward and participate. And my gosh, they have come forward and they have participated. So what's happened in previous tech sprints? Where have these phenomenally talented, wonderful women been? Why do they not feel able to come in and step into the room in other tech sprints? I think that's a question that we should all probably ponder and reflect on. But we wanted to have a real focus on women and developing careers. And so we're running a parallel Girls in Data mini tech sprint across the week, really targeted at women aged 18, 16 to 25. With a real focus on getting diverse ethnicity into the room as well. It's incredibly important. So we're working with local schools and colleges. And across the day, tomorrow, I believe it is, really having conversations where we talk about how women can develop their careers in tech and financial services. So we've really tried to shape an agenda that comes at this from all the different angles so that we create that buzz and vitality. And I think it's going to work. I feel it already. I feel that kind of excitement and engagement already. So I have high hopes.
And I'll just add that we have the same experience. I'm reluctant to name names of all the amazing women who are going to be participating, but one of the keynoters is going to be the chairman of the FDIC in the United States, Yelena McWilliams. And we're going to have a career session panel that's going to include the former chief technology officer of New York City. People like that, have just had amazing careers, and we're devoting a whole day of the conference, as Francesca said, to listening to them, getting them to talk about what they've done and how they've done it and what advice they may want to share and what problems they encountered. It's going to be exciting. And then on the global and virtual format, we've actually at AIR done a number of these sprints virtually, and it's got its pros and cons, but it definitely has advantages. For this one, we're going to have one team that will be ranging from Prague to Silicon Valley. So I think that might be 10 or 11 time zones.
Just think how many time zones that is.
The Prague team has committed to working all night so that they can really work together. And then we do have on the drawing board another tech sprint for late this year. We aren't committing for sure to it yet. We're still working on it, but we hope to do a truly global tech sprint with hubs in Africa and Asia, and really focus on emerging markets challenges in particular. And so we couldn't be more excited about that. And the virtual format makes that a lot easier for sure.
Yeah. I think that's why we've been so keen to have the global perspective, you know, up front and center with this tech sprint, which is how do we seek to keep the momentum going? Because I think there's so much about this is not just about the solutions in week, but how we can learn from others. How can we learn from other jurisdictions? How can we share the learning from this week with others? To really kind of get that cross-fertilization of ideas, to kind of get that ingestion of energy and innovation to enable that leapfrogging that we know is so powerful and important. So as Joanne said, if that follow-up tech sprint can happen, that would be a huge bonus.
Definitely. Well, I was going to say it's already been a very exciting year, but personally for me, as a Northern California native, I grew up in the Bay Area, and seeing Kamala Harris become the first female vice president was such a big, momentous event for me. And I think, you know, maybe on a smaller scale, but just seeing these women speaking about what's going on in the world, speaking about their careers is going to be wonderful because, you know, seeing is believing. And I'm so excited to bring more women into this. So, so excited for the future. Future's female. So on that note, I'm going to have to cut us there. But it's been such a pleasure to speak to you both today and to take part in this tech sprint with you. Any parting notes that you have for our audience? And if they'd like to know more about you or your organization, where can they find you? Maybe I'll start with you, Joanne.
Yes, so we are at regulationinnovation.org, AIR, the Alliance for Innovative Regulation. And if you come to our site, you can find a place to register to observe the demo day of the sprint and watch the conference. And my final word is to say that these tech sprints, one of the things they do is they end with people having made friends that they wouldn't have had before. And those relationships go on, they go forward and they spread. We also at AIR have an accelerator to keep on building these ideas out to closer to fruition as well. So it's an exciting time.
Wonderful. And you, Francesca?
So if you want to find out more, please go to fca.org.uk/techsprints, where you will find all the program for this activity. And what I would say is all the conference content is going to be available for 90 days. So please, you know, if there are events that you've been interested in, check them out. The content will be there for a good few months yet. What I'd also say is we've talked a lot about the representation of women and the importance of creating the space for women to step in. But I'd also say if we have learned anything from the last couple of weeks, particularly, is that actually the importance of having the voices of different allies in the room and others of different backgrounds stepping in and saying, and so how can I help? And so I would encourage all our male listeners to check it out as well and really think about kind of taking in a couple of sessions, looking at the demos, and really thinking about sharing that with a couple of your contacts as well. Because the more that we make this all of our priorities, not just a female priority, I think that will become even more powerful. So that's maybe my challenge to your listeners as well, Nina.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. And thank you to our listeners, as always, for joining us for today's conversation. As always, don't forget to subscribe and comment and leave us a review if you've been enjoying these episodes. Thank you so much and catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Breaking Banks Europe, a Provoke Media podcast in cooperation with FinTech Stage. Don't forget to tweet us out, shout out, or post to the team at Breaking Banks EU on Twitter. If there's something or someone you'd like to hear on our cast, let us know. See you next week on Breaking Banks Europe.